If you got your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We are in the process of looking at different problems that we face day in and day out. But one thing that each of us faces, one thing that each of us unfortunately does, is involve ourselves in talking about others as well as listening to others talk about others. A number of years ago, it was the Wall Street Journal who recorded these words about the snake that poisons. It says it topples governments and wrecks marriages, ruins careers, busts reputations, causes heartaches, nightmares, indigestion, spawns suspicion, generates grief, dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows. Even its name hisses. It's called gossip. Office gossip, shop gossip, party gossip. It makes headlines and headaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up. That's pretty good counsel from the Wall Street Journal. But you know, there is a snake that poisons, and that is gossip. It's something that permeates our homes. It permeates our churches. It permeates the office where we work. And more than we'd like to admit, we find ourselves wrapped up in the gossip. And yet the Bible speaks very clearly about how we are to use our words. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. But is it not true that we find ourselves speaking words that don't minister life to others? And we find ourselves saying things that destroy others. The Bible says that we are to consider how we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And part of that is speaking to one another in ways that build one another up. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse number 9, the godless destroy their neighbors with their mouths. It's the ungodly person who will destroy their neighbor. It's not the godly person. And the neighbor being not necessarily the one next door to you, but the person sitting next to you on the pew, person that you associate with at work. And we need to go back and study what the word of the Lord says concerning gossip. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse number 3, that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We have unity in the body because Christ has brought us together as one. We are made one by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knows that in that body, we need to endeavor to keep that which Christ has given to us. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And one of the ways that we don't do that is by talking about one another. The Bible says over in Psalm 15, verse number 1, these words, O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. The psalmist says, who can ascend unto the hill of our Lord? Who can dwell with the Most High God? The one who walks in integrity, the one who speaks truth from his heart, the one who doesn't slander his brother, the one who doesn't take up a reproach against his friend. In other words, when someone speaks against your friend, what do? Do you defend your friend? Do you protect your friend? Or do you take up that reproach against your friend? You see, if you're going to be a biblical friend, and we'll talk about this next week, then you need to know what it means to defend your brother. And unfortunately, we find ourselves entering into the gossip that is spread about other people. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, these words about the end times. Paul says that in the last days, there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be times that are grievous. And he begins to outline for us what those times actually look like. He says, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, and malicious gossips. One of the characteristics of end times is that people will begin to speak more and more against one another. And we need to make sure that we're not a part of that. Listen to what the Bible says over in the book of Romans, the first chapter, the 28th verse. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malicious gossips. God says that when he turns people over to their own sinful devices, they become more and more involved in greedy, filthy sins, and one of those is becoming malicious gossips. So we need to understand that the Bible is very serious about that. In fact, Proverbs chapter 6 says that there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utter lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. In other words, one who sows discord among the brethren. In other words, one who begins to divide the brethren. And how is that done? Through speaking against one another. The amazing thing is that we engage in something so often that God hates so much. And so we need to be able to go back and examine our lives and try to ask and answer some questions. Number one, we're going to ask, what is gossip? And then we're going to ask, what does gossip do? Because some people think, well, it's just not that big a deal to talk about somebody else. Really? Let's see what the Bible says. And then we're going to ask, why do people gossip? Why do people gossip? What is it that motivates them to speak about other people? And then fourthly, what shall I do about it? Okay? Four questions, many answers to those four questions. Okay? What is gossip? Melody Green said that gossip is sharing anything about someone when the act of sharing it is not part of the solution to that person's problem. That's a good definition. You see, gossip is that which is damaging and destructive and defaming of someone else. And it falls under two main categories: good gossip and bad gossip. There is a bad gossip and there is a good gossip, but both are evil. First of all, there is that malevolent gossip. That is the malicious intent we have to destroy someone else. It's wishing evil upon someone else. That is what we call malevolent gossip. It's with malicious intent. I really want to say something against someone else. I really want to tear them down. I really want you to think of them as I think of them, and that's not much. And so that's how we engage our conversation. Illustration of this is over in Psalm 31. When the psalmist said these words, verse number 10, "For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity and my body has wasted away." The psalmist says, things are bad because of my sin, and he knows it. And then he says, "Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life." The psalmist says, listen, it's one thing to face your own sin and the guilt of your own sin. It's another to watch others begin to talk about your sin behind your back. And so many times there are people with malicious intent. They say things because they really want to bring another person down. They say things because they want to destroy another person's reputation. And so they will distort the truth. They will malign that individual and say things that might be completely wrong. They might even be right, but he has no right to speak them. And the only reason he or she does is because they want to tear that individual down in the eyes of the people they're speaking to. That's malevolent gossip. That's the kind with purposeful, malicious intent. But we as Christians don't do that one as often as we do the good gossip. We call that benevolent gossip. And that is, we are not necessarily purposefully trying to rip somebody else apart to someone else. Instead, we just share things out of context. We take things and speak to others about them and camouflage them in Christianese. And therefore, we do that to relay information that might not be encouraging to the one we share about. For instance, people engage in benevolent gossip when they gather together for prayer. Does anybody have a request? Well, you know, I've got a request. What is it? Well, you know, it's kind of an unspoken one. Oh, well, okay. Sure you don't want to share it with us? Well, maybe I should, seeing as though you twisted my arm. You know, have you heard about so-and-so? No, what about so-and-so? Well, you know, we need to bring them before the Lord. Well, why? Well, you know, they're having all kinds of problems in their marriage. Really? What kind of problems? Well, seeing as though you're twisting my arm, let me tell you about some of those problems they're having. And oh, we need to go to prayer. Need to bring them before the throne of grace. And you know, we do need to do that. But sometimes we engage in that benevolent gossip, that, quote, good gossip, which really is evil, under the guise of, you know, this is about Christian things. We're just praying for them so that they might grow in their walk with the Lord. But the purpose necessarily isn't as much bringing them before the throne of grace as it is informing the people about the problems of that individual. Our motives are wrong. Another way we engage in benevolent gossip is that we take things out of context. Whenever you take a sentence or a situation out of context, you distort it. And when you do that, someone not getting the full picture of what was said might think you said something or that individual said something that was completely wrong. Happens a lot to those who teach. People walk out of the class and they say, well, so-and-so said this. And they quote just enough of what he said, but quote it out of context. I want to be the first to let you know that you can take any sermon I've ever preached and brand me a heretic by just taking a portion of what I've said. And people tend to do that. But the most common form of benevolent gossip happens, listen, whenever you inject "but" in the sentence. Let me give you an example. They are a beautiful couple, but. That's a great church, but. He's a good teacher, but. You see, whenever you inject "but" into a sentence, that's where encouragement ends and erosion begins. We need to think about that. We inject that "but" into the sentence. We just can't leave it as "they're a good couple." We have to inject the "but." But did you know? This is how certain things are. But did you know about their children? But did you know about their parents? But did you know this? Or but did you know that? That is commonly called benevolent gossip. And let me help you understand a verse of scripture that is so paramount to anything that we say. And I think, and I had you use a verse of scripture this evening as means of your testimony to see exactly how God was using the word of the Lord in your life. But I think it would be good that if every single one of us here this evening would use Ephesians 4:29 as the barometer for our conversations. It says this: let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Wouldn't it be good if Ephesians 4:29 was the theme verse for your family, or the theme verse for your Sunday school class, or the theme verse for you personally? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. In fact, the only thing you're going to let come out of your mouth is a word that builds up, never a word that tears down. Can you imagine how great our marriages would be? Can you imagine how great it would be to be a part of a family where all you did was build one another up and encourage each other by the words that came out of your mouth? You see, we forget, as Proverbs 18 says, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And whatever you say that has the potential for good has an equal potential for evil. The words you say can destroy another person's life. So what is gossip? Gossip is using my words either maliciously, a malevolent way, or in a benevolent way to damage, destroy, or defame another individual. And we've got to be very careful about that. And I think that if you were to guard your conversation, you'd begin to see how many times we say things that really are bringing others down, not building others up. What does gossip do? That's point number two. Four words I want to give you. The first word is division. Division. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:28, a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 17, verse number 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. There's nothing that separates an intimate friend than to repeat a matter, than to slander the individual. Nothing that will destroy a relationship quicker, nothing that will divide a relationship quicker than if you were to speak against someone else. That's what slander does, and that's what happens. It causes people who are close to be divided. You ever met people who were really good friends, and then all of a sudden, they're not friends anymore? What happened? What caused there to be a division of the relationship? It's because somebody slandered the other. Slandering separates close, intimate friends. It divides. And that's why marriages can be destroyed. Those intimate relationships between husband and wife is because the father will slander the mother, or the mother will slander the father to the children. And now those intimate relationships now are divided. See, we forget about that. You should not speak against your wife or your husband to your children. Never do that. Once you do that, you begin the division of intimacy. You begin that. And that's why a slanderer separates close friends. Job said in Job 19:2, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with your words? Job knew the power of the word. Job knew how the word could destroy a relationship. We got to be careful about the things we say, right? So what does gossip do? Number one, division. It divides intimate relationships. It divides close friends. Number two, dissension. Dissension is created in the body of Christ. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions or dissensions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Dissension is created in the body of Christ when an individual begins to speak against another one. That's why the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 6, verse number 19, that there is one who spreads strife or dissension among brothers. The one who utters falsehoods and utters lies is one who begins to cause dissension in the body of Christ. And so not only is there a division of intimate friends, but there is dissension that's created in the body. When people begin to speak against one another, people take up sides, don't they? And all of a sudden they begin to fight for a cause for one individual. Well, they might not know all the facts involved. They don't even care to know all the facts involved. They just want to take up sides. And all of a sudden people are fighting a war they're not even a part of. And dissension is created in the body of Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contentions quiet down. Now that's a very vivid picture, right? No wood, no fire. No contentious individual, no strife. You know, we forget that when we're together as a church, or let's take your family for instance. If you have one individual that's contentious, there is strife in the home, right? Remove the contentious person, there is no strife. Same way in the church. Remove the contentious person, there is no strife. There becomes peace. That's why the Bible says that one sinner can destroy much good. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 18. One little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when someone begins to sow discord among the brethren by uttering lies and speaking untruths and speaking about other people, then what happens is that great dissension is caused in the body of Christ. Many schisms. We need to be careful about that, right? And thirdly, there's another thing that gossip does, and that is what we'll call destruction. Gossip destroys your life and other people's lives. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his soul, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." If you guard your mouth, you're going to guard your soul. But if you speak rashly, if you say things that aren't true, you're going to come to ruin. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:23, "He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from calamity, misery, disaster." I am convinced that there are many people who have emotional problems because they can't keep their mouth shut. They're always talking about somebody else. And they have all kinds of emotional turmoil, all kinds of uneasiness in their lives because they just can't be quiet. It's going to destroy their lives. If we knew how much problem we had physically and emotionally because we talked too much, we'd put duct tape over our mouths. We'd stop talking. Many words causes much turmoil, much trouble, and we need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 21:28, "A false witness will perish, but the man who listens will speak forever." Now, the text says, "but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever." "To the truth" is in italics because it's not in the original text. So the verse reads, a false witness will perish, but the man who listens speaks forever. In other words, the one who speaks falsely is going to die, but what he has said is going to be carried on forever and ever by somebody else. And that's what you got to be careful about, because it's destructive, not only to the person who speaks it, but those who hear it. For those who hear it begin to think, wow, this is something exciting. Listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 8. "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Do you ever ask yourself, why is it when someone begins to give a little bit of juicy information that you just have to listen to it? You want to know more. You want to act a little pious and say, you know, I don't think you ought to be saying those kind of things, you know. But down deep, there's that, oh, I wish he'd just give me some more information. If I just knew a little bit more, who is it? What did they do? The reason is because the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. It's like, you know, someone made you brownies with nuts in them, and there's one left, and it's sitting there on the counter, and you know you need to eat it. And so you look at it, you say, you know, I want that last bit of chocolate. Oh, it was with a nice glass of milk. Maybe heat that brownie up in the microwave for about 7 seconds, just so that it begins to get a little warm. Boy, I tell you, I just went, oh, it's just so good. That's the way whisperers are. They say things that are like dainty morsels. We just want to get that last bit, that last tidbit, and it just, oh, it just tastes and sounds so good. But the Bible tells us very clearly that those dainty morsels affect your soul. They affect the deepest part of your life. And in so doing, they affect it negatively. For instance, when we hear something, a rumor about someone, and it goes down into our body, it's very hard and awfully long before we ever forget about what we heard, because it stays. It goes so deep, it stays. That's how sin works, see? And that's the destructive influence of the whisperer and the destructive influence of those of us who listen to that. It really brings about a devastation of our life and the lives of those who hear it. See, we don't think of it that way. We think, well, they're just words. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, whoever said that never read Psalm 31. See, we need to understand the power of words and how they affect our lives. And lastly, you need to apply the scriptures to your life. You need to apply the scripture to your life. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. You know what that means? That means, number one, that every word out of my mouth must be consistent with the primary motivation of building you up. Every word. Every word must be consistent with the primary motivation of building you up. Number two, no word I say will ever violate my basic commitment to be used of God to edify you. And number three, never am I going to say something that is going to interfere with the opportunity that I have to influence you for God. That's what it means by not letting any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Folks, wouldn't it be good if that verse was committed to memory and that verse was taped on the steering wheel of our car, on the mirror in our bathroom, on the door of our refrigerator? It was plastered across my forehead so that everybody who saw it would read it. That's a verse that needs to control our lives, right? May God give us the grace to accomplish his purposes. Let's pray.